Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've already talked about, can Ryan Tannehill get the job done in a critical game-winning drive situation? We've talked about the first quarter start and how critical that's going to be for the Tennessee Titans. It's what led directly to their victory over the New England Patriots at Nissan Stadium last season. And also, they have not been a good first half, first quarter team this year. The New England Patriots are the best first quarter team, one of the best first quarter teams in the NFL. I think second best in terms of points scoring. We've talked about individual matchups. We've got a Derek Mason dissection. So we thought we'd lighten the mood a little bit and maybe glance at the other games that are taking place in the NFL this weekend. As, of course, Buffalo travels to Houston on Saturday prior to the Titans. And then you've got Seattle and Philadelphia and Minnesota at New Orleans. So we'll get some picks on those games and your thoughts, Derek, on those games in just a second. Mm-hmm. However, we'd also thought we'd go back and look at our preseason predictions as to who was going to make the playoffs and maybe laugh at ourselves a little bit for what took place this weekend. Because, listen, I think we should hold ourselves accountable. And if we're wrong, I got no problem. I'm married. I got no problem. I'm wrong all the time. Put my hand up in the air and say, my bad, y'all. We got that wrong. So
even when I'm wrong, I'm right. That's
well,
me.
That sounds like a different approach. I think you're missing the point of the segment. All right. So I have not seen these. Marquise has tracked these down. Are you involved in this too? Do you have your picks?
No,
as
I don't.
Well? Okay.
And I'm glad I did.
So it's me and Derek and, of course, our fallen homie. So we'll
60% of the time, I'm right all the time.
Stop. Shut up, Sex Panther. All right, let's go with...
Loving picks is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Let's go with Derek Mason's predictions to make the six teams to make the playoffs and the Super Bowl
well,
or whatever.
I'm going to do it this way. So I'm going to start off with the NFC.
Okay.
And D-Mace, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
Here's your divisional winners. I'm going to start with divisional winners now.
Okay? All right, I like this.
You got the Cowboys.
Mm. Okay.
The Vikings.
Oh, God.
Ding!
Yeah, the Vikings won their division.
No, they did not.
But, oh, they didn't.
Well, no, you're
they
right. Yeah,
they did not. But they got the wild card. But you picked them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
Seahawks.
Made the playoffs, but did not win the division.
Did not win their division.
And the Falcons.
So you did not pick a single division winner correctly?
No, I didn't.
Yikes.
All right.
Not in the NFC, I didn't.
Yikes. Oh, but you can, so, okay.
That's just the NFC.
All right, that's just the division winners. How many playoff teams did he get right in the NFC?
He got the Vikings, Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
He has his wild cards were the Saints and the Eagles.
All right,
yep,
so there
I got
you go.
That
so
right.
Four out of six. Check. All right, 4 out of 6.
Yeah, so it's not bad.
And who did he have winning the NFC?
Who was my other two teams that I picked that didn't?
New Orleans and Philly.
Yeah, New Orleans and Philly.
Yeah,
that was your wild card,
okay.
And your whole conference champion is the Vikings
over.
I got to go back to
Minnesota.
It's Minnesota. Okay. So,
I'm still in it.
So
you're still in it.
I'm
still in it.
So 4 out of 6.
Yeah.
Over 4 on divisions.
And we didn't do conference championships.
Okay.
We did Super Bowls.
Okay. So 0 for 4 on divisions, but 4 out of 6 total, and your Super Bowl NFC representative is still available.
Minnesota.
Cool. All right.
So now you.
Oh, God.
you did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Your divisional winners were the Eagles.
All right.
Packers.
Okay. Check.
Saints.
Check.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And the Seahawks.
Oh, you missed it with the Seahawks.
All right. Okay. Three out of four is not bad.
Your wild card was the Rams and the Falcons.
So actually, I got 3 out of 6. You got 4 out of 6.
So who was his divisional winner?
But I got three divisions right, and you got none.
Who was going to the Super Bowl?
His conference winner was the Saints.
So wish the both of us had
So basically what we learned here is that we all underestimated Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, basically.
And the defensive line and Kyle Shanahan. But I think everybody missed on that one. So.
And I think you were sipping a Kool-Aid like everybody else was on McVay.
I didn't have him winning the division.
I know, but you told me you stood at the Kroger's next to him.
Oh, that's right.
Next to the guy that was next to him on a flight.
Yeah. I was next to a guy on a flight who had recently breathed on Sean McVay.
Exactly.
At a Trader Joe's in California.
Okay, there we go.
and we both got the Falcons wrong. So Atlanta just no bueno there.
Atlanta.
Okay. All right.
What we got?
Okay. All right, we got the AFC now. This is all over the place.
Okay.
Oh, good
all right,
Lord.
Let's start with you, D-Mace.
Uh-huh.
You had the Pats.
Yeah, okay, that's
shocking.
Winning the division.
Okay, check. Uh-huh.
But here's where everything gets a little miscombobulated here. Because then you have the Steelers winning the division.
Uh-huh.
You have the Chargers also winning the division. And you had the Jags winning the AFC South. So, yeah. And your two wild card teams, which are pretty good, are the Chiefs and Ravens.
Okay, I got both of those right.
Now I remember.
And your AFC champion is the Chiefs.
I'm immediately remembering this. I switched from Jacksonville to Baltimore like the very next day, and because as a wild card, and I don't think that got registered.
If it didn't get registered. It's not on.
I don't think the vote tally registered that because I think I remember coming in the very next day and switching to Baltimore.
But I think both of us had the Titans winning 10 games, but we said they were going to miss the playoffs.
No, I had the Titans winning the division, I think.
Did you? Yes, you did. So,
okay, I had the Titans winning 10, but losing them not making the playoffs. Yeah.
So, all right, so now let's go to Brayden's. Now, Brayden did it. Like you said, he had the Titans. He had the Patriots, obviously.
Pats
had
check.
The Steelers. Okay.
Pittsburgh,
And had the Chiefs. And
I got KC. Check.
And his two. Here's the funny one. Here's funny right here. His two wild card teams.
Shut up.
Are the Chargers and the Jags. Disrespecting the Ravens.
Say
no
that,
Ravens.
But I'm not even kidding about this. I'll take the loss. I'm fine with that. According to that tweet, it says I took the Jags. Literally the very next day, I came in and said, I think it might have been the next segment. I was like, no, I'm listening to Derek. I'm taking the Ravens. I like the Ravens to make the playoffs.
And that's not how it works, man. Yeah.
But
you
know
tweeted,
what?
It's finalized,
when it's tweeted,
man.
It's finalized. So
if it's on the tweet, it happened.
So
exactly.
So everybody missed on the Chargers, just like the Falcons. Yep. I think that's true. We all got the Browns right, though, because none of us picked the Browns to make the playoffs.
What was
at all.
The reason for not having Houston? Because obviously, Brayden, you had Titans and Jags, which means that Houston would have fell short to maybe three or four.
I had them all essentially at like 9-7, 10-6. And just, you know, a game here, a game there. The defense, you know, Houston was not this elite level team last year. And Deshaun Watson's health, I guess that's the reason. I thought the Titans were going to be the best team in the division. I think you could argue at the end of the year they were as close to being one of the best teams or playing as good a football as anybody in the division.
They were playing better than anybody
in the division.
I'm the
only
division,
one on the show that picked the Titans to make the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
So I did get that right.
I thought it was just going to be one of those situations in that division where everybody's basically, you know, the top three teams, Jags, Houston, and the Titans, are all 9-7, 10-6, and the Titans were going to get left
out. Right,
exactly. But have a winning record, but get left out.
So who did we have winning the AFC, the two of us?
All right, so you have the Chiefs, and both of you guys actually have the Chiefs. Mm.
So I've got KC New Orleans. I'm in good shape.
I got KC in Minnesota.
Yep, that's yours.
All right.
That's
your well, the way it's looking.
Kansas City and New Orleans? I'm feeling good about
that. The way it's looking
that.
On the AFC side, Baltimore has a first-round bye, and KC has a first-round bye.
Who are you – now, let me ask you guys this. Who are you more shocked by for making the playoffs? Because we skipped over some teams. The 49ers in the NFC making the playoffs, getting – a division win, and then also the Bills. Who are you more shocked
at? The Bills, I'm not. I think we even talked about this a lot.
They played like, well last
they're,
year.
They're very good defensively. Don't be surprised if they're good. They made the playoffs 2 years ago, too. I think San Francisco
is a surprise.
Being the one seed in the NFC, being the best team in arguably the NFL outside of Baltimore, basically the same record almost. Like, I think the growth is the issue there. Like, nobody saw – it's like Tannehill. Like, some people thought Tannehill should have started. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought he'd be the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Some people might have picked San Francisco to make the playoffs, but by and large, they were third in the division. Mm-hmm. It was mostly Rams and Seahawks. I mean, the Rams had won the Super Bowl. Had played in the Super Bowl. So it was – we were largely looking at those – I think San Francisco is the biggest surprise of anybody. And the Chargers, I think, on the negative side – from a talent perspective, with a Hall of Fame quarterback, I think the Chargers, now they lost a lot of injuries. They had Derwin James go down. I think the Chargers are sort of the biggest surprise in a negative sense on that side. And all of those picks happened after Andrew Luck retired.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, you know, if you had made those picks before, there might be a lot of Colts mixed in on those predictions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I will give, and I make fun of you guys for getting predictions wrong, and plus I didn't make predictions either.
Predictions are stupid.
But I will give you guys credit on one thing. You guys did not jump on the Browns train.
No,
we did not.
We discussed
that. So I give you guys credit on that.
We discussed that earlier. That team was, I mean, with Freddie Kitchens, that team was still a year or two away from trying to put that thing together. But I am surprised, quickly, even though I didn't pick the Rams to go to the playoffs, because I just thought they were going to fall back, I am surprised. I'm still surprised they didn't make it. That team underachieved badly.
I mean, I think a lot of it was the 49ers overachieved what their expectations was, and the Rams kind of depleted a little bit and kind of failed from their expectations.
Here's what's awesome about the NFL. I'm just going to pick my number that makes me win this, and then you can pick your number that makes you win this. You got more teams right in the NFL playoffs. You got 7 out of 12. I got 6 out of 12. And that's, I think, actually part of the beauty of the NFL is that you're just going to miss on half the teams.
Yeah.
Because half the teams rotate and churn every single year. I will say this, though. I did get 5 out of the 8 division winners correctly, and Derek got 1.
Yeah. Well,
so
you know,
I'm picking and choosing the stat that makes me look good.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's politics.
Exactly. I NFC picked 5 South, out of 8 divisions, right? I'll take that.
The NFC South. No, it's the NFC East. This is the first time in probably
it's been forever.
A while since they had back-to-back winners of that division.
It's been a long, long time. So we thought we'd make fun of ourselves and laugh at our predictions because, again, I got half the teams right to make the playoffs, which, again, isn't very good, but I think that's sort of the nature of the beast, and Derek got one division winner right out of the 8. So we're accountable to ourselves.
Absolutely.
We're accountable. I had the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Falcons and the Rams and the Chargers winning the wild cards. Not a damn one of those teams made the playoffs. So that's how it goes, man. We hold ourselves accountable. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. What is an expectation for Ryan Tannehill in the ultimate test that he could face tomorrow night? We'll explain and get Derek's answer on that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Brayden Gall on a Football Friday. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best. Snashville? Nashville's best.
Snashville. Or Nash and Smash, so you put them up together.
That's apparently what happened. Best NFL pregame shows this Saturday. A special edition of Jared and the GM will air from 2 to 5 p.m., followed by a playoff edition of the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, Chris Sanders, live from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. That's my neighborhood, located at 1003 Russell Street from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the AFC wildcard game with the Titans taking on the New England Patriots. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. It just occurred to us that we didn't even make any picks on the wildcard games real quick. So I've got a Tannehill question I want to ask you, but I do want to get your thoughts real fast, Derek. Mm-hmm. Rapid fire here, okay?
Okay.
Rapid fire. Houston hosting Buffalo. Who do you like?
I got Buffalo. I think Buffalo wins this game. Houston is still, they're still beat up. I know J.J. Watt comes back, but they're still beat up. I'm picking Buffalo to go to Houston and get the upset.
All right. How about Seattle going to Philly? Philly is very, very good at home.
Yeah, but Seattle is very, very good.
And
Marshawn Lynch already has a game up under his belt, so he got his football legs back. He's going to run wild on Philly in Philly.
What?
Beast mode has been turned on.
If they win, it's because Russell Wilson's
great.
It's
beast mode. It's turned on, I'm telling you.
Philly is very good at home. I know that they're like the 9-7 team, and the Seahawks are the great team, and everybody's picking Seattle. Don't be surprised if Philly wins that game. Don't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but you know, I'm picking beast mode. It's going to be on full blast.
Minnesota at New Orleans, the Saints and Vikings, the return of Bounty Gate. This is the old Brett Favre game against the Saints the year they won the Super Bowl. Who you like?
I picked Minnesota to be my Super Bowl representative.
Don't be pot committed.
With it. I'm staying with it. I think Minnesota. There's just something about New Orleans. They've been snake bit, and they're going to continue to be snake bit moving forward.
See, as a Packers fan, I'm terrified of New Orleans coming to Lambeau.
They are snake bit, and I'm telling you, Minnesota will win this game. Dalvin Cook is back. That running game's going to get going.
You're going to trust Kirk Cousins in that situation.
Kirk Cousins, I think Adam Thielen is back, I believe.
All right.
They got that. They're ready. The full complement of players are back now.
Good on defense.
Good on defense. They're ready.
You just don't
playing
go
in the dome, too?
You're not convincing me. Listen, I got the Saints winning the whole stinking thing and Drew Brees retiring.
Oh, man.
So I'm sticking with the Saints. As a Packers fan, I am terrified of New Orleans coming to Lambeau next weekend because I think that's what's going to happen. But so I'll take the Saints in that one as well. All right, Ryan Tannehill. I trust Drew Brees. I trust Russell Wilson. You know, I look around. I trust Deshaun Watson. I don't trust Josh Allen yet. I think we can trust Carson Wentz, even though he's making his first playoff start, which is crazy considering how many playoff games the Eagles have played in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Kirk Cousins, I don't think you can trust him. Ryan Tannehill is also making his first playoff start mm-hmm. in the NFL and in his career, and he's been around a long time. I don't think the jitters are there. We talked about this early in the week. I don't think the stage will be too big for him because he's not a rookie. You know, Lamar Jackson last year, you could argue the stage was too big for him when they played against the Chargers and the Chargers defense really shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
It can be too big for rookie quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a rookie, but he's fairly young. He also is making his first start, I believe, in the playoffs. So what do we expect out of Ryan Tannehill? I think he's going to be fine. The question is against one of the best defenses in the NFL in one of the most hostile environments where they expect to win championships, can you when you're faced with a must-have drive in the fourth quarter down by 3 or 4 or 5 and you need a score to win the game, your red zone efficiency with touchdowns has been through the roof, almost unsustainably good at scoring touchdowns in the red zone. The big mm-hmm. plays, we know Belichick's going to take those away. Can they go down the field in a minute and a half or 2 minutes in that situation and win the game with Ryan Tannehill calling the shots?
That's a $1 million question. Has Ryan done it before? Absolutely, he's done it. You know, he did it against Kansas City. He did it against the Chargers. So he's capable of taking his team down and putting them in a position to win games and score touchdowns. But he did it against defenses that are nowhere near the caliber of this defense. This is the best defense in the National Football League. Yes, they did play poorly last week versus Miami. They have a history at times at playing poorly against Miami. Miami has won 2 out of the last 3 meetings against the New England Patriots. For some reason, when you play divisional games, it's just a little bit different. Again, can Ryan Tannehill do it? Has he shown he can do it? Yes. But against this defense, against the greatest coach of all time, against a coach that finds ways to make you feel as if there's 13 or 14 people on the field, on the defensive side of the ball, he makes it very difficult for you. It's going to be a tall task for Ryan Tannehill. I'm not saying he can't do it, but man, oh man, it's going to be very tough for him to do it. And I know the Titans, they would rather not have the ball in Ryan's hand with 1:20 left at the end of the game.
Let me ask you this.
Starting at their own 20.
All right, let me ask you this then. We know the defense has had issues.
Uh-huh. You mean Titans defense?
Would you rather have the Titans defense on the field, though, with 1.5 and Tom Brady with the ball in his hands and a 4-point lead? Like, Titans have a 4-point lead? I know you'd rather be winning the game. I guess that part of the question is sort of ridiculous. But I'm just saying, in that situation, who do you trust more?
You know what?
Obviously, Tom Brady with 1.5 to go against a defense that hasn't been able to stop anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I have no faith in them making that play. I actually have more faith in Ryan Tannehill being the reason that they win the game on offense in a 2-minute situation than the defense getting a stop in 2-minute situation.
You know what?
Is it that crazy?
It's not crazy.
You're about to tell me no.
No. And I'm not saying you're wrong, because I don't think there's a right and wrong in this. But I would feel more comfortable this year looking at that New England offense in the last 2 minutes, them starting on their own 20-yard line, and Dean Pease. I got Dean Pease. You have a pedestrian offense. You have a Tom Brady that doesn't look like Tom Brady now, against a Dean Pease that knows Tom Brady, that knows this offense. He can match wits, I believe, with McDaniels. I'm taking Dean Pease.
With you on that, dude.
Dean Pease.
And listen, you have the lead, so obviously you'd much rather have the lead.
I'm taking Dean Pease in that situation. I'm taking Dean.
Although everybody wants Josh McDaniels as their damn head coach. I just don't understand that.
I'd never
have gotten McCoody Jr. as the guy.
Seriously?
I mean, he was the coach he was the coach for the Broncos, and it was terrible. It was a dumpster fire. He treated everybody terribly.
And then he
took the Colts job and said, "Nah, I'm cool."
Well, that alone.
Now it worked out for him because they got Frank Reich out of the deal. But
That alone, I wouldn't give him a coaching job.
Also, Vols get a big win last night over the Indiana Hoosiers in the Gator Bowl, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl there, a 23-21, just unbelievably remarkable come-from-behind win as they scored two touchdowns in the final 5 minutes, including an onside kick in one of the most improbable wins in any college football game you'll ever see. So very entertaining finish to a very up-and-down roller coaster season for the Tennessee Volunteers with six straight wins. Preds, however, back on the ice Saturday and Sunday night in a huge two-game road swing out on the West Coast. They got the Kings and the Ducks. We'll talk with Crispy when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Oh, that takes me back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and Terry Crisp joining us here. Terrence Arthur Crisp, brought to you by the Highland Group. Crispy, just your thoughts in general on the extravagance and spectacle that was the Predators and Stars in the Winter Classic on Wednesday.
Well, I got to tell you, it was unbelievable. My wife, Sheila, and I went down with, I don't know, 20-some thousand other fans from Nashville. I'll tell you one thing. Nashville, the city of Nashville, was made proud by the travel troop that went down there and the support and the fun they had. I mean, they joined in, and my wife and I were walking into the stadium for the opening of it, and we got a little, I don't know if anybody's ever been to the Cotton Bowl. That was our first trip down south to that Cotton Bowl, and it's big fairgrounds. We got sort of lost and diverted and got in with the horde going in. I've never been enclosed by so many people where you don't even walk. And you couldn't walk. You shuffled going in. But everywhere we went, we saw our gold jerseys there. Our fans were excited, and every one of them stayed unbelievably happy until the scoreboard showed up.
Now, Crispy, we're going to get into, you know, what exactly happened as in regards to, you know, the score in a second. But I want to ask you about the Perry play on Ellis. This is something that the NHL has been trying to remove from the game. Watching it from television is one thing, but you were there. I don't know how close you were. Was it as bad in person as I thought it was on television? And what does, because I don't know if the NHL came down with a ruling yet. If they haven't, what do you think the penalty should be for him? Should it be a 3-game suspension, 5-game suspension? What should it be?
You know what? Any time you get a player hurt and goes down like Ryan Ellis did, and of course we all know Corey Perry because we got hammered a tong when he was with the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, we had wars with him, and he was a public enemy number one on that team. And he plays rough. He plays a tough game, a mean game, but there's no place in it for the one thing we're trying to get rid of the head hits. And that was definitely a hit to the head on Ellis. And the play wasn't one of those slam bang ones, because Corey Perry was coming across. Ellis shot the puck. He just kept coming, continued on his line and made the hit. But from where I was sitting, I still haven't seen one. I'm not sure how, but obviously it was enough that he put Ryan down out of the game. The league is looking into it today, and I'm one of the ones, the same as you. I'm sitting here waiting to see if the league does really mean that they're going to clean up on the head hits or whatever. So it'll tell us what they're going to do. But the biggest thing is that we lose Ryan Ellis at a time when we're struggling. We're looking for wins. He's one of our top players, one of our leaders, and he's out of there. But you know what? For me to sit here and try and figure it out, I'm not going to sit and wait until I see what the league does.
Yeah, and he's scheduled to meet with the league today. It should happen sometime this morning or this afternoon. Terry Crisp joining us here. Listen, if there's a problem with scoring, you can tweak lines. You can acquire a forward at the deadline. If there's a problem with defense, you can tweak lines and acquire a defenseman at the deadline. If there's a problem with goaltending, it's pretty hard to fix in the middle of the season. So if you're the coach, how do you go about addressing what's going on with Pekka and UC Saros?
That's easy. I'd talk to the guys in front of them. I'd have a chat with my defense corps, and I'd have a chat with my forwards about what the heck style our is, what's our identification, and what do we have to do to help our goaltenders. Goaltending is not a problem. That's the one area I'm going to stay away from. Or no, maybe I won't stay away from it. I'll jump in with both feet. Pecorino is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, and he hasn't just suddenly gone brain dead on us or talent dead on us, and so is Saros coming up. Yes, I have to admit that we've had the odd soft goal lately go in early, which they would love to have back. But after those soft goals goes in, they make 8 to 10 to 12 point blank unbelievable saves per game simply because of defensive lapses by our defense and forwards. And I've pounded this drum for 2 years now that your goaltending is only as good as the guys in front of it. And then they say, but Rene and Saros have done that after the odd goal going into whatever. And I think right now it's time to start looking at the guys who are supposed to be clearing the front of the net, guys who are supposed to be picking up guys coming late, guys who are supposed to be one-on-one on the back check, and they bring their guy back to the top of the circle and let him go in the most dangerous area there is, top of the circle to the net. So before we, all of us people start screaming about our goaltending, get off that wagon. Let's start looking at what's out in front of our goaltenders.
Yeah, I think ultimately, hockey is one of those unique sports that I guess it's sort of like football, that sometimes the goalie get too much or the quarterback gets too much praise, and sometimes he just gets too much of the blame. And it's somewhere kind of sort of in the middle with both of them. Do you see this? You know, we know it's there. We know what the players have said. We've heard what Pecorine said. He said, listen, we're in trouble. And I'm pretty sure he meant if we don't get this fixed, we're in trouble. Do you think they get it fixed? Can they get it fixed? Absolutely. But do you think they get it fixed at this particular time?
They better, because the games are running down. We're running out. We're still in the hunt. That's the good part. We're still right there. We're on the cusp. We can easily make a good run and be back up, not in the wild card race, but in the standings. And, yes, we're capable of doing that. But you've heard every player to a man say there's something wrong. We have to fix it. Every guy may be an interview. And the goaltenders, they're not shirking their duties either. They're saying, we have to get better at the same time. So if all the guys are on that vein, on the same vein, then it's mystifying me why it's not getting better. And it falls on the guys that put on that jersey and walk out onto the ice. And every time you leave the bench, you should be aware of the fact of what your job is and what you're supposed to. But you know what? I always think that it starts, and you guys have been in sports all your life, all around it. And I don't care what sport it is, try and figure it out. Defense wins championships. Defense wins games in all your sports. And we're no different. And I don't care now. I'm tired of hearing, what a great rush. Oh, what a great scoring chance. Oh, what a goalpost. You know what I want to hear? I'd like to hear us say, when we leave the dressing room, and we used to have a goaltender. Get this one, Jacques Plante and Glenn Hall. We'd leave the dressing room when I played them. I hate going back in there. They'd say, get me two goals, and we win the game tonight. Okay, get me two goals, and we win. That meant that they were going to do their job, and you better do your job in front of me. And that's what I'm looking at right now. I hope that we start to say, you know what, guys? Let's go out, and if we get two goals, the game is ours. We're going to slam this game down. We're going to slam the gate on it right from the get-go. So that means you can't leave it to the last 8 minutes or the last period to do it. You do it from the first shift to the last shift. So I just wish I'd like to see the attitude is, you know what? If I'm a forward, if I don't score a goal tonight, but if somebody else does, I'm sure as heck not going to get scored against. And our line is going to be as good. And why do we always keep saying that the third and fourth line are the ones who have to do the checking and do the back checking and prevent goals being scored? That's not the way the game's played is. All four lines are responsible for goals against.
Crispy, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy New Year. It's 2020. Thank you so much for joining us, bud.
Hey, guys, thank you. I just want to thank all of our fans, the ones that didn't make it down there to the Classic, but the ones that went. It was an awesome time. We loved it. We loved intermingling with them. Our players certainly loved it. They got to meet the fans. It was quite a thing, and they did our city proud. So I want to thank you all for that. And just so I know, I'm going to yell, go Preds. But, hey, go Titans too, boys. Go get them.
Terrence Arthur Crisp, brought to you by the Highland Group. Crispy, always a pleasure, and love hearing his analysis. He seems pretty fired up right there. Normally he's pretty jovial, but you can always tell if you read between the lines with Crispy. You know what I mean? Like, he – there's a little edge there with Crispy, and he knows, like everybody, that the Predators fans right now are frustrated, and it will be interesting to see what happens this weekend. Again, 9:30 and 9 o'clock, respectively, with the Kings and the Ducks on Saturday and Sunday night, so some late starts there. If you want to, if you're driving around and you're going to be hanging out watching, watching the Titans game somewhere, someplace, you know, we've told you about the pregame show, but we got more coverage for you tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 2 o'clock. Who in their right mind, Porth, What were you thinking when you gave Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell some airtime tomorrow? Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell will be running the kickoff from 11 to 2 tomorrow. Previewing, we've got 8 hours of pregame coverage for the Titans and the Patriots tomorrow. Then, of course, I told you about the special edition of Jarrett and the GM from 2 to 5, and then NFL pregame from with Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders tomorrow. So starting at 11 a.m., we've got you covered. And then after the game's over, you leave your watch party, you pop on Hal and Pete, and you listen to the Preds on the way home. So there you go. There's your Saturday planned, and frankly, Sunday as well. So check that out. Again, starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow, we've got coverage all day long for you Titans fans. Stick to sports when we come back. Take a little break, a little brevity on the show. Stillman, you know what that is? Listen, next segment. You'll figure it out. Stick to sports. Morning Drive.
United Structural System. And I'm going to tell you, it's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has been serving the Middle Tennessee area, but check this out, since 1994. So that's over, what, 20-something years? 20-something years, going on 30 years now. Almost 30 years, it'd be 30 years and four more years. So they've been around here for, almost 2 decades. They've been here for 2 decades, man. So that tells you, if you've been around for 2 decades, that tells you, man, you're doing something right. And they've been around here for 2 decades because they've served more than 18,000, not just customers, residential customers, but they are satisfied residential customers. And here, check it out. Here's some of their highlights, because not all companies have this. Their quality is exceptional. Reputation, exceptional. See, I'm checking off all these things that I need to know when I go to have someone do something at my house. Quality, check. Reputation, check. Expertise, check. Integrity, check and check. And they got selling points. So listen, they give you a free estimate. They are locally owned, which is important to me. If you're locally owned, that means, and you've been in company for, you've been in business for 2 decades, that means you're doing something right. Right. They're locally owned foundation and waterproofing company. Again, they've serviced over 18,000 satisfied customers. And this is not a franchise. It's not a franchise, people. It's not something that you see everywhere. They are locally owned. All right. That means a lot here in the city of Nashville and the state of Tennessee. It's the custom solution to meet homeowners' needs. And they're saying is this: we guarantee our best. So call USS. And the way you can do that is, here's the number, 615-227-2275, 615-227-2275. Or you can go to their website and check them out. Here it is, USSTN.com. Hey, I want to dance with somebody.
Somebody.
With somebody who loves me. Oh, I want to dance with somebody.
Happy birthday, Derrick Henry.
I want to feel the heat.
Tomorrow.
Hey. All right, keep her singing to a minute.
Hey,
let's go.
Hey, I want to dance with somebody.
Hey, can you actually elevate the volume?
With somebody who loves me.
All right. Sing from down in here, man.
Doom, doom. The clock strikes upon the hour.
Stop.
As the sun begins to fade.
He did like three singers all in one song.
Enough time to figure out.
I had a controversial.
My blues away. I'm sorry, Brandon.
I had a controversial Whitney Houston take last night with my wife.
What?
What's the other song? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive. Number one.
All right, so go ahead and get us mad on a Friday. Go
no,
ahead.
No, no, no.
Exactly, come on.
It's not controversial for like angering Whitney Houston fans. Uh-huh. What's the other song from Bodyguard that she sings? Not that one. Because that's the one that everyone knows. I Will Always Love You. Is it I Have Nothing, I'm Every Woman, Run to You, Queen of the Night? There's another song in the Bodyguard that I think might be Whitney Houston's greatest song of all time. And I'll have you look for it during the break and we'll find it. But I don't think that I Will Always Love You is the best Whitney Houston song from the Bodyguard.
I think it was.
And I felt like that was a controversial take a little bit.
I cried.
But it was like pro Whitney. It was like me saying I love the other Whitney Houston song as much. So it was like a
to that song, man.
And D-Mace,
I know.
But you would cry.
Yes, I realized how good the song is.
No, but you would cry. I know you would cry. Listen to it today while watching the movie.
There's also other good songs from Whitney Houston in that movie, and there's another one that I think is better.
There were a bunch of them.
Basically, we're arguing about how great Whitney Houston is here. So I'm not. It's not that controversial of a take.
No, not really.
When you can argue how many good songs one person can have,
in one movie.
In just a movie. We're not just talking about the whole entire catalog. We're talking about one movie.
I got to figure out what the name of that song was.
It's easy.
I was watching the documentary on the about the Apollo on HBO.
Whoa.
Awesome. You got to watch it. It goes back to the very beginning. And Ella Fitzgerald coming out there, it's awesome. But there was a woman who goes out there and sings this song from The Bodyguard. I was like, I looked at Haley, my wife, and I go, I think that's the best song from The Bodyguard. And she was like, that's kind of controversial.
Oh, she might be right, man.
I'm right. Never been wrong.
Okay.
Still married, though, somehow.
Do you know what it was? It was I Have Nothing. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. If I don't have
that's it.
That wasn't it.
That wasn't okay.
That was on there, but it wasn't it.
It is on it. I'm Every Woman, Run to You, Queen of the Night. It might be Queen of the Night, but we'll see. I got to figure out which one it was.
Now you're going to make me listen to Whitney when I get in the car.
The whole time.
Yes.
All right. Now, we talked about this yesterday, how we have to get accustomed to getting out of 2019 and moving on to 2020 because when the years change, you got to change. You know, you can't
when you're
be
writing checks. It's like you're writing 2019 instead of 2020.
Oh, yes. I had to fill out some documents yesterday. I was like, what two?
See? But one thing that does not change, even though the days change, is the holidays. So yesterday, as Dan Schneider, Mr. Schneider, was introducing Ron Rivera. As he was introducing Ron Rivera, this is the beginning of the press conference. So Ron Rivera will always be remembered because this is how he was introduced to the press conference.
Good afternoon. First off, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
But
Wait, you know what?
Play it again.
Do what, Bobby?
Good afternoon. First off, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
No, he said happy Thanksgiving and happy New Year, didn't he? He said happy Thanksgiving and then happy New Year after that, too.
But still, it's like
I know.
It's like the Marshawn Lynch, Merry happy. Well, what did he say, like Merry happy New Year? He tried to combine two holidays in one
but
thing.
But that's cool to say because you're trying to get it all in just in case you didn't talk to people and they didn't see you. So you say Merry happy New Year. And I can understand that. It's funny. But that...
Happy Thanksgiving was a couple months ago.
That was a while ago.
And Happy New Year. But what I like about it is this, because I've always said this. If you walk into a place like you're supposed to be there, no one will say anything to you. No one will stop you. Daniel Schneider. He just said, Happy Thanksgiving, and kept going.
Yes.
He didn't correct himself. He didn't stutter. He didn't say, "Oh, my fault." He just kept going.
He knew what he was doing. Yeah,
he just kept going.
I love y'all.
That's what I like about
it. I love y'all trying to do like Adam Sandler impersonations.
Yeah,
Schneider,
Dan Schneider.
That's what I like about it.
First and foremost, everybody, happy Kwanzaa.
I hope the Preds or the Titans never get a player named Schneider on the team.
Yes, because I'll do that every single time.
We're just gonna call him that for the rest of his career.
And it is Daniel Schneider.
Old Bob Schneider.
Okay.
It is Bob Schneider on the power play.
Number three.
Man.
Okay, so here's a very strange New Year's Eve story. Well, I guess it's New Year's Day at this point. So Gabrielle Union, who we all know is the beautiful wife of Dwayne Wade, one of the most underrated shooting guards in NBA history. I will dispute that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that statement.
Okay. Most underrated. So Gabrielle Union took an Uber back to her house, and the Uber driver asked her to use the restroom, and she allowed her Uber driver to use the restroom. Now, here's Gabrielle Union's tweet on this. Trying to be responsible and use Uber, and our driver asked to use our bathroom. 15 to 20 minutes later, dude dropped. I'm pleased we clearly have a home and available reading material that screams, come in, get comfortable, and drop your kids off at the pool. Welcome to 2020, folks.
Hey, listen.
Hey, good for her, first of all.
Yeah, for letting them use the restroom.
Well, and just being funny about it. Like, drop the kids off at the pool.
Okay, as long as you don't, and I'm not going to allow you to go into my restroom, the restroom that I use all the time, which is in my master
bathroom. You're talking about the powder bath.
Yeah.
Let him use the powder bath.
If he's in that where everybody else goes, then drop your loads, man. Just make sure that it's clean, everything's cleaned up.
Could you at least give me a warning?
And spray. Before you leave.
Listen, all I know is Dwayne Wade is an expert on load management. Yeah. Okay?
There you go.
I got that. That was good.
I mean, come on.
Gabriel Union should have did like that scene.
The NBA's got a load management problem.
We got it, Brayden. We got it.
I can row a boat, canoe.
It's like that scene on Friday. You guys remember that scene on Friday when Smokey goes to Craig's
house?
Door. And his dad answers the door. He's like, I got to use the bathroom. He's like, what you want to use? Number one or number two? He said, number two. And he just kicked
him out. He's like, you ain't doing the number two in my house. But see, in his house, they only had one bathroom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if I had one bathroom. You can't use them.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
There's only one bathroom.
I'm pretty sure they got like 20 bathrooms, and he went into one of them.
Gabriel
okay, just clean it up when you leave. Wash your hands. See you later.
Like, I'm generally a person who's, like, really open to everybody, kind of. Like, I want to be nice to everybody. Like, I'm generally in that. Like, I err on the side of, like, just helping people try. Like, I'm just not sure if I'd let an Uber driver into my house to go to the bathroom. But it's hard
If I'm Gabriel Union and Dwayne Wade.
Right, but what's funny is...
I'm sure they have security and people at the house.
And what's funny is, it's like, I'm trusting you with my life to drive me around.
Yeah.
But I don't trust you in my bathroom. I'm just saying,
dude, just clean it up, man. Just clean it up when you leave.
Wash your hands. I would say
clean it up. But I guarantee you that was the highlight of his night.
I'm like Ice Cube. I'm like Cube's dad, though. I'd be like, nah, dude, if you're going number two, you got to go somewhere else.
Nah,
he's sitting on the toilet.
You
like,
ain't got to
like,
go
wow.
here, but you got to go somewhere.
2005 All-Star game?
I'm going to let him use it, man. I'm just going to let him go and use the bathroom.
What do you think's in the Wade's powder bath?
Oh, wow.
It's probably not like the trophies.
Nah, she probably got some good
potpourri.
She got some good smelling soap and lotion.
And hand towels he's not allowed to use, that no one's allowed to use.
Yeah, you got to use like the napkins that are sitting
never
there.
Know. Hey, what are these towels doing here? Can't use those.
So a real quick funny story. So obviously teenage Marquise was a little wild.
Uh-huh.
And I brought a girl over to hang out while my mom was at work. And she used the bathroom and she used my mama towels.
Ooh.
And it stained.
Oh, that's bad.
And it stained
that's
the
bad.
Towels.
Ooh.
And I didn't know how to wash clothes at the time. So I was like, I just flipped it upside down. I just flipped it over. She'd never noticed.
Oh man.
I was like, you ain't supposed to use. I said the whole, you ain't supposed to use my mama towels.
Ooh.
Mama towels go untouchable.
Well, that's what happens.
It doesn't
when you allow people in mama's house when mama ain't there.
Yeah, I feel like every.
Down,
yeah, that's true.
Every human needs to learn that there are just certain towels you're not allowed to use. It doesn't make sense, but the women decide this stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't understand it, but whatever, man.
But a wise man once said,
don't do it.
If you go to the beach, don't forget to bring a towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel. All right, we'll be right back.
I thought he said just don't get sand in your toes. I don't know.
That's the beat to Funky Town. We'll be right back, Morning Drive.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on Spin Quest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.